started. This is John Watson, and
are we recording that?
We're grateful to be here, grateful for all of your attendance. The public is welcome to this meeting, and I see that there's not a lot of that, but we're grateful for their comments when that takes place. We do have a quorum. Clint is excused because he's got another engagement, and Kurt Snyder likewise has got another engagement and couldn't be here. And so we excuse them and are thankful that they help us with this process. I don't know if any of you have had the opportunity to look at the minutes in the last meeting. See if there's any comments on that, or are any of you aware of any of the little things that we talked about, anything that was discussed. If anyone had particular assignments, I don't believe that there was anything specific there that we would have needed to do, but
if there's not anything there, I'd say I'd make a motion.
Would you like to make that motion?
I'll make a motion and we pass the minutes.
Do I have a second for that?
I'll second it.
All in favor say aye.
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 That motion carries. Once again, I acknowledge that the public, I don't see anybody, but is there any public comments or any comments in general that would like to be made? Alan, is there anything from your side of the table that we need to talk about? Or?
There's always stuff from our side. Do you want me to do that now? Because it was on the agenda for 7 down there.
Okay. Is that stuff that maybe Craig should hear?
Probably.
We'll wait for him.
I did notice one thing, though. I think House Bill 126.
Yes, no, 128. Senate Bill 128.
Yeah, we found an error in the code book.
What's the subject?
That was the trailers.
The changing of the mortgage status of those trailers?
Yeah, change them over mortgage.
They only did it in the consumer protection. They didn't change ours.
Really? So we need to fix that.
Now, there's a chance that it could be pending because it says October 1st. Is that the date or is that
it says October 15th, but this book goes down. It has the October 15th changes and it's still not there.
So, we're concerned about that, but it doesn't. We have the real draft, the finished draft that's supposed to be in there, but it was not listed in the manual.
So you're on top of that, and that change will get made?
Affirmative.
Okay.
I don't think Wayne went through all the work to get that done and not to have it printed, but it did not get printed.
Okay. I'll check on that. Okay.
And when it's in, it's in 13.14.102, and then it refers to 41.3.102, but it doesn't change it in 41.3.102.
So it refers to 41.3.102, but it's not printing out.
Yeah, it's actually, in the code book, it does not have these changes made in it.
That was in the bill.
That's correct.
So do you think that's a printing error? Because if it was passed in that form, it shouldn't be a problem.
It's,
I'll find out.
Also, this whole section is not there. Okay. Motor vehicle does not include the trailer. That's not there at all.
Okay. So I'll check this.
Well, your people that are in that trailer and RV business should be very, very happy as of this point in the year. Most of them have sold most of their inventory, and crazy times have taken place in that part of our industry. So
yeah, it's good now. It'll be interesting to see what happens in October through February.
For all of us.
All of us may be looking at that. The real issue for the RV side of it that I'll be interested in is a couple of years from now, when maybe COVID isn't part of our life, and all of them come out from the understanding that they got 18 years of payments left on some of that stuff. And they only used it 2 times last year.
Maybe a glut of RVs.
There could be a glut of RVs.
Well, just so you know, the power sport and the marine industry are almost identical.
I know they
are. They have no inventory. They're getting full price.
I've got a friend that's got a boat thing, and he says they're gone the minute they hit, if not prior to, and for kind of full plot, and so things, we've all found a way to recreate, even in spite of the difficult times that we're in.
Interesting, yeah.
Positive thing there. Board status. I'm assuming this is on what we talked about. There was a time when they wondered if this board should exist. Our comments from our last meeting is we all felt like this was a very important board and needed to be here. And so, Craig, you want to set right up here?
Sure. Today? Thank you, sir.
Welcome you two. I certainly haven't heard anything with that status. Has there been anything else that has been said?
Well, there's this Alan Shinney from the division. There's a lot of paperwork I have to fill out every year for this. I think it's worth it, obviously, otherwise we wouldn't be here. Hopefully, with a new governor coming on, that can be readdressed. I think that it's not only good for the industry, it's also good for the community that the board exists, because I personally believe that logical solutions get rendered here that affect a lot of different industries, and without that, it would go away. So we strongly support the board, and we want it to continue.
Thank you. I'd like to make just a little suggestion. It would be to you, Mr. Wade. If all goes as it looks like it will go, Spencer Cox could be our new governor. I know that you're very close with him and helped him a great deal in the southern part of the state. I think it would be good for us as a board for just some comments, realistic comments that you might be able to make to him, what this board is, what it does, and how there's a great overlap with motor vehicle enforcement division. With we talk about franchise law, we talk about advertising, we talk about so many things that need to be done in this industry, and it would be good for Spencer to understand that.
Be happy to do that. I think Alan, I need to get with you and find out the chain of command, who meets with him when he's governor, who's it between you, or if you meet with him, and if it's you, then I'll get you together with him if you want to do that.
Well, the beauty of the board is it really doesn't have anything to do with us. We've done all we can do, and that was with Governor Herbert to keep the board. It really comes from, and I already know they've done it, so I'm not speaking out of context here, is Craig Bickmore and Wayne Jones communicating with that new staff the importance of this board. And then on a personal note, if you were comfortable doing that, it would be advisable as well. We're always going to do that. Yeah. But the movement was in the last 2 years is I was on the public safety board. It's been dissolved. A lot of the boards have gone away. In fact, about 80% of them have gone away, and we were able to keep the board, and I was not getting support from even inside the tax commission to keep it. And if it wasn't for Wayne and Craig, it may have gone away. Okay. So I think that message needs to be transferred to the new governor.
Well, maybe, and if I could just say one thing, maybe by, bringing this to him directly and asking him to come to one of our meetings, right? And I know he's probably extremely busy, right? But if he could see the round table about what the round table's about and who we all are and what we all represent here, all the way from, new cars to used cars to recycling, all the way down the, from the rooter to the tooter, as they would say. I think it would be wise for him to see that there is, there is things going on here, and something that I feel strongly, being a part of this board, is, able to hear and being able to pass on information to people in the recycling business. On our side, because new cars get sold, but no one ever really thinks about where the old ones go. And, I think it's really, really important.
Thank you. Stephen, I think I was really referring to this personal note.
Okay.
I know you'll have opportunity just to see him, speak with him, and on a personal basis. We have two wonderful directors that help with this process, but I think that your comments would be
okay.
Very well based.
Chairman.
If I could just make a recommendation, maybe is that maybe during the January meeting, which is just prior to the legislative session, it would be, I think, important for this board to maybe draft a letter that would be ready for approval at the next January meeting, just informing the governor what this board's about and how important it is and those things that, you know, obviously could be addressed in that, just to say, we're still here, we're still operating, and thank you for continuing.
I like that idea, that I could ask him if he's read that personally and understands it, because I will be spending some time with him. In fact, we're having lunch. He called me for another lunch down in St. George coming down in another couple of weeks.
Thank you, Wayne. I think great suggestion. We'll take that. And Jeannie, if you'd make sure that's a item that we'll...
You know, I'm not so sure that there's not going to be a lot of pushback that way. One of the, just when we were alone, just Spencer and I just visiting over a lunch, he made the comment that they had taken two large office complexes of workers for the state and decided to let them work at home and try it. And he said, this is offline, you know, he's just saying, personally, he said, Steve, we were really worried about that. We thought a lot of people would not really perform. They'd be off watching TV or playing. And he said, we tracked productivity. Productivity went up 29%.
Wow.
He said, we've now closed two big office buildings, which means the cost of savings of that has fewer cars on the road, less pollution, all these things. So the mind is spinning now, right now. How do we pare down and have more, less is more? And I thought that might figure into some of his thinking as he takes a new, if he's the man and takes a new look at the playing field and says, how do I benefit from that and benefit the state? Which is could affect a lot of things.
Well, it'd be a good thing not to affect this board. I know this board over the many, many, many years, it's set here kind of almost in arbitration at times with Dieter points. It's done a lot of things that bonds, so many things that we've all been involved in that this board had a lot of command in, and I think it's a good board to have. So Jeannie will work on that letter then and make that happen. Alan, back to you. MVD, DMV rules review.
Sure. I'm actually excited to talk about some of the things that MVD has been working on for the board and for the citizens of the state of Utah. First off, we did, Curtis Stoddard retired June 1st, and we're in the process in the middle of a reorganization. As our industry has evolved and the issues that we fixed through legislative changes done by the board, we have really focused on representing the industry that I believe is our bread and butter that funds us. So I created a deputy director position, which is Larry Ball, and then Cole McAfee is our new assistant director. So we traditionally had four sergeants. We're going to have two lieutenants and two sergeants, and we're going to divide the state into a Salt Lake section and then an outlying area section. And we're going to primarily focus on titling issues within the industry to help resolve the asset that's, and I believe motor vehicle is an asset. I know it is. So we're going to protect the integrity of every vehicle that comes into our state. And we're going to focus on that section of the code, which we should have been focusing on all the time. So I believe that as we move forward with this, we have reduced our FTE costs and we have reclassified those positions to non-sworn people that have increased their productivity about 40% over the last 3 years. So our case count right now, every year we've gotten higher and higher and there are more legitimate cases. Our prosecution rate in the state is as high as it's ever been as far as accuracy. Now, some of the counts are down, it's a little bit deceiving, but our quality cases that are going through are better. So we're getting less cases declined and we're getting more resolved with the statutes that we've had and the stuff that we have tweaked to make it work better. There's no doubt that we still have an interpretation of statute with the county attorneys throughout the state, and we meet with them all the time. We desperately need to move forward with getting an attorney, and I know that both the new and used association is working on that, because we are the only regulatory industry in the state of Utah that has no attorneys on staff. We have none. Commerce has a couple, insurance fraud has a couple, and with recent changes with us looking at maybe taking over F&I and other things, we have to have an attorney on staff. There's no doubt. I've reached out to other state industries that do the same thing that we do in other states, and they all have attorneys on staff, and we do not. So I really appreciate the support of the board for doing that, and as we move forward in that way, it will help us. It really is about, I tell our staff all the time, I want to gauge workload, and I'm saying real workload, not just about what Mr. Wade reported about the governor, our prospective governor preaching what the workload is, and I believe it, that we are one of the own main people that have been in this building every day. So MVD has been here every day. So while a lot of the people have been teleworking or we're telecommuting, whatever you want to call it, we have been here. Now, I have let our support staff do a combination as we've moved into renewals. We put them back in the office because we had to have in the office. This year was our best renewal year ever. So July 1st, we were 90% of the industry was renewed. In 2016, we were 33%. So that's how much of the changes that I've done have improved what we do. And that means more accurate vehicles are being sold to the community and less failure to deliver titles from you folks, and you should see that. And we're resolving issues with the dealerships to help them get the titles of the cars they're selling. So that being said, we've been working and working and working, and we made a presentation to the DMV last week. And any vehicle that gets sold by a dealer that came from an auction or another dealer, we have the authority now to issue a title for the dealer for any reason. So we can help the dealers now with that. Now, we fully understand that a dealer, now I'm talking about cars that are coming from other dealers, not from trade-ins. Yes, we can help with that. And we still can cut through a lot of bureaucratic red tape. The DMV is, this COVID-19 has affected them like more than you'll ever know. And it's not just from our flaws or our mistakes. It's from other states. The other states are shut down in our region around us, and we're not getting titles. So this is going to help fix that substantially. And a lot of that is because of the work that we've done as Larry and Cole and myself and the people around us that we gained and earned the trust of the DMV that they're allowing us to do that. That is unprecedented. Yeah. This never happened before. So I'm telling you, we're monumentally excited about this. And we're going to continue to move down that path. I would like, with the board's support in the future, to bring back our compliance section. It just was not the right time. We really needed to perfect our trade and really home in on what we do and then satisfy our customers and the industry's our customer. Our customer's not, per se, the people out there. Yes, we're going to take care of complaints. We're still going to do that. But we, in the past, never focused on who our customer is. Our customer is the industry. We're going to protect the industry, and we're going to move forward with getting solutions to problems and not plugging up the issue. And I think we've done that and done it well. We're going to continue to do that with your support and hopefully deal with the crushing industry, the dismantling issue industry, because as things change, and there's no doubt that change is being forced upon all of us, and you know that's true, yeah. That we have to adapt and look at things from a different perspective instead of, you know, going in there heavy-handed, we're going to do this. We're not doing those things anymore. We want to avoid liability, and we want to avoid being in the public forefront on the news for bad things. So that's our focus, and we're going to continue that way. And I really hope that we can keep the lines of communications open, because we are, I guess basically I'll end it with saying this, help me help you. I cannot do this job without your help and without your input. And that means everybody. I think we should expand this board to different areas. Like, there's no body shop guys on board. There should be body. We had a guys before. I think Mr. Peterson used to represent them in theory. We need to look at different, the whole thing, like
towing,
everything. We need to focus on the whole thing and look at the whole solution and come up with solutions before they get imposed on us. Because I think they're coming. So I think it's in our best interest and everyone's interest to work together to fix anything that has to do with the motor vehicle. And I'm excited to be here.
Help me understand this title thing a little bit more. So did I understand you correctly? So if I can't get a title in one of my dealerships from another state, which we've had difficulty getting. We can't talk to anybody, we can't do anything. The customer's jumping up and down. We now get an extended sticker. We're trying to make this work. Are you telling me you can issue a Utah title?
I'm telling you that we can issue.
Absolutely. As long as I have certain things on the deal, I know that an auction, so we know there's no lien on it, or if there's a lien showing we have a lien release, and then all we're going to ask the dealers to do is fill out the 656, you know, nominal disclosure statement, and I'll be able to run it up through, and she'll issue the title to the dealership.
Are we doing some of those now?
We've been doing them,
but it's been a long process, and we're getting more and more complaints all the time.
Complaints, huh? About?
From dealers. They're frustrated because
Well, the customers are.
And they're not getting titles. So
they're saying they're going to call you, you know, we're screwing
them
up.
Well, I've said before that you guys should be encouraging them to call us because we'll explain to them what the problem is. That way they're not mad at you guys. And that's really what started this whole path. It was last Thursday.
Yeah. So we've had some complicated ones where customers from out of town, they want to move on with their lives. They're taking some job somewhere crazy and they can't. And then they expect us to buy after 2 months to buy the car back. We've sold their trade. They want to buy it back at full price. Do this. We've had to really make some compromises just try to placate them and make them happy.
That's why we did this.
So is there a desk that we call with this, Alan? Call you guys directly.
Yeah, there is a problem. The reason Alan went this route was I didn't work with DMV, but DMV being their work, a lot of them are working home, and getting them to do it is tough sometimes. It takes a while. Just cut down the process.
Super.
We talked to Illinois was starting to open back up last week, and they said they are 6 months behind.
Okay. Well, California's in the same boat. There's so many that are like that.
They said when they open it, they'll be over a year behind.
Well, I applaud you for that.
So no matter what state it is, you can do that.
Yeah, we're obviously looking to what started the whole issue was our auctions, local auctions, are selling cars to dealers, because in all fairness, some of the new car dealers have become used car dealers because they don't have inventory. They're selling cars, and they're giving them a disclaimer, Mannheim, I'm not picking on anyone in particular, because the other ones are doing it, Odessa's doing the same thing. There's a waiver they're having you sign, and there's, in theory, they say, I don't know if I believe this, that they're selling the car for less because they can't get a title and it's on you. Well, they're still a dealer, folks. It doesn't matter what they think their title is. By statute, they're a dealer. We do not have an auction statute in our state. They're a dealer. So they are bound by the same statutes that dealers are bound by. So anytime they sell a car and they don't do it, they're in essence in violation of failure to deliver title. So.
And we want to keep it that way.
Yeah.
This is why we had to come up with this, because of these things going on. And this is a industry-wide issue. And even for you guys it is, because you will see the aftermath of what they're dealing with right now.
Well, I think we're actually starting to see it from the recycling side. We're starting to see it more than anything from IAA and Copart, more than anything, because of just that title blockage, right? And so you have all these out-of-state titles that the auctions are starting to, so now it's piling up, right? So
I say, buy, and we'll take care of you.
Yeah, so the problem of it is that is probably one conversation that probably needs to happen at the auction site, because they will not release a car or sell a car from a salvage side without proper paperwork.
That's a whole different animal.
Yeah.
It really is. I mean, I can't control what the insurance companies are willing to do.
But if you gave me that badge, I could go buy a lot of cars.
Yeah. I'm telling you to buy whatever
today.
You need and we'll take care of it.
Okay. Great.
Once it's here, there's a lot of things we can look at, and we have been working on our. This is a huge success for the industry, and I'm saying all parties involved, we pulled this off. So it'll help, and I suggest that you tell people through your newsletters or whatever, if they have title issues from cars that they bought from the auction, they need to contact us. And they need to get it out of their mind that it's not a complaint. It's a complaint form. But it's not. They're not listed. Dealers are not listed as suspects. They're not listed as complainants. We leave it blank.
No,
so there's no record of it. as so if someone calls them and say, we want to know how many cases or complaints have been filed by dealer, it is not entered in that way. We have not done that since I took over as the director. We did it before. We do not do that now. So,
gentlemen, thank you. Some of those changes,
huge,
both in staff and some of the things that you're trying to accomplish are major things for car dealers, and we applaud what you're trying to accomplish. Not only that, but I can tell you from the new car dealer side, and I'm sure Wayne could speak to it on the other side, we appreciate you being there. There's been more of a relationship between you than we've ever had. We feel comfortable reaching out. You make us feel like we're capable of visiting with you and talking over issues, and so we as a whole, and I think the used car would echo that same thing. So, gentlemen, we're grateful for the changes you're making, as well as I know you're also very appropriate on money, and watch that every day. And
well, since you brought that, I'll segue into my next thing. So he did raise up the price of temporary permits, which I did get totally hammered by the industry. I called everyone that made a complaint. Everyone. They about died when I said, I'm the director of motor vehicle enforcement. They're like, well, what are you calling me? I go, because you made a complaint on our email. Well, I didn't mean to. It was a B. It was an apostrophe. But I explained to them. Every one of them positively accepted it. Now, this is the dilemma. I do have, my dad's a CPA, so I do have some experience in forecasting. I am conservative. I'm a real conservative, I promise you. I have some concerns with future sales. Now, I'm not making excuses for what we did. I still think it was the right thing. However, I did not predict that May and June were going to be record sales for a lot of the dealers, which they were. So with the, we did not fill vacancies. We rolled over $600,000 last year into our appropriation account, which we have never done that before. $600,000 we saved, and we rolled that in to future, if let's say we did run into a recession and things don't turn out in an election the way that I'm hoping that they do, and things go bad, we technically now have, this is just since 2016, have saved about $3 million. That's how much is on our mind. And they did try to steal it. Thank you to the New and Used Association for keeping that from happening, because they did try to take our money. That we are looking pretty good right now. That if worse, let's say sales tanked, we would be able to keep our staff for about over a year.
When you called, I don't know how many you called, but I remember you calling me and you said, I hate to do this, but we need to do this. But when we can, we'll roll it back. That's when I kept telling people, look, they're doing what they have to do. They're being sensitive to it. But before you roll it back, we are in May and June. Let me tell you, July is another winter. It was my biggest month in my history, And August is still off a little bit, but still tracking really well. But that doesn't mean that we don't have a payday coming. And so maybe you better be quick to hide a little bit under your pillow, because I don't know what's going to happen. You know that they're going to, all these factories now are going to be building these cars. We've got more off-lease cars coming in October, November from 17. They're going to hit the market. We've got Hertz, Advantage going bankrupt, all that's hitting the market. That downward pressure is going to push them down. And all these used cars that are artificially high right now, they're going to go whoosh. And so you're going to have some people get hurt, and we could be taking the market forward right now and have a lull, and that would affect you.
And just so you guys know, the way that it works for us for funding, we're done on a fiscal year, which is July 1st to June 30th. So everything that we saved, we didn't know was going to happen. We don't have access to that unless it goes through an appropriation. So we have to do a request to access that money.
Have you? You've done that, correct?
No, we haven't had to, because we're good. So we have savings, and we can call on that.
Oh, okay, so
the
that...
The savings aren't going away.
The savings are... Oh, okay, I missed that part.
If they did, I'd be on the phone with you guys immediately.
Yeah, I was going to say, if that goes away, we need to do something
about it. But there's no doubt that we're monitoring Wayne's brought some things to my attention that there, if we get this attorney, it won't cost us anything because the money is there as long as things stay this way. I don't like spikes and I don't like drops. I want consistency. I guess that's a perfect world. But however, we do have the money to do the things that we want if we stay the status quo. If we don't, then we need to address the issue and maybe lower the price back. Because we're at the top right now that we could, anything else we do has to have legislative approval. We'll top that.
Are you sure?
I'm pretty sure.
I don't. No, you're talking the price of temporary permits.
Yeah, they're $12.16, I think.
Yeah, that he can do. He's talking about the money in the Simplify.
No, but I know, but you don't. I thought we, through legislation, they gave you the opportunity to raise it.
Yeah,
there wasn't a cap.
We have to do a request. We're topped out as high as we can go without doing
it. Without going to the legislature, we can top
that. Are you, okay, well, we can talk after.
Yeah, I don't really raise as high as
I just know what they or our budget people tell us, so.
That's probably pretty legit.
I mean, it really comes down to what I'm asking the board, and I don't want to belabor this longer. What's fair and equitable? Do we need to address this issue in October, November, and see what happens? Or I'm all for bringing the savings back to the customers, but how many people are really complaining about $12.16 for a temporary permit?
No. I think that the issue, we ought to watch the industry, and we ought to give it another 5 or 6 months and see what happens before by the end of the year and see where the first couple of months of next year go. I think you're in a sweet spot right now, and I don't think it's a big issue. I do want to compliment you on the renewals.
I can't believe it. We can take Jeannie. She, a lot of her staff that did it, but well, some changes that made it easier.
Bottom line, in our store, we started way early, and it was great, and it happened simple. So thank you, and I think the whole state felt that, and your evidence of what your percentage of completion was excellent. So, well done.
Mr. Chairman, can I just ask a question of Alan? When we did that years ago, I thought, and we'll have to check, and you check for me, just, and maybe there was a cap that we put on that, but we did that so that there was an open ability to move up and down that fee so you didn't have to go to the legislature every time and make that part of that process. So we were able to take that away, but are you saying that that's not the case?
That's what I was told.
We were told there's a cap, the 12.
Okay. I mean, that's been years ago we did that. We did it under SST, and we did it on some other stuff, and so we didn't have to do this. So
I know it's easier than what it's been in the past. I just know it's still a process, but I'm not requesting any more money. I think we're good. And
that number
is a good number.
Good. No, I'm not, you know, implying that we need to ask or you need to ask for more money. I just wasn't aware of a cap, and it's been so long ago we probably put a cap in there. I just wasn't aware of that. So.
You know, and as the industry evolves, I'm saying the industry, you're going to have, I read the bulletins all over the country from AMBA. There's some high-tech fraud scammers that are going to affect all of you and your livelihoods, that if we don't stay ahead of those curves, it's going to affect a lot of people. So we know those things, and an attorney on staff is going to make that quicker, because it's all about getting the cases explained to the county attorneys. Like, I had to call Chris Allred from Hoover County on a case that for a big dealership up north that they were not going to take, because I played sports with him. I called him up, and I was gave him the riot act. He took the case. But if they don't understand it, they're not going to do it because they think it's civil. It's not civil. We have to know what we do, and it has to be infectious, and they have to understand it. Once you explain to them that could happen to them, then all of a sudden they understand it. Until then, they just don't care.
Let's stay proactive instead of reactive.
Yeah.
And it seems that that's what your office is now doing, and we're very grateful for it. I think there's a good fit between us all. So, if there's nothing else there, how about government vehicle auction sales? Wayne, do you have that?
Could I just back up one other thing on item number 6 on the rules?
Mm-hmm.
Our association has thought through all the rules quite a bit, and we appointed a task force within our association to review particularly the advertising rules. Rules are those things that are set up that says, for example, you can't do deceptive advertising. The question is, what is deceptive? That's what the rules are for. And so we've been going through those rules both on the MVED side and also our next project is the DMV side. Rules can be changed without legislative action being done by the tax commission in a hearing. So we are reviewing some of those things. Without going and getting off into the weeds of this, the kind of two component parts we decided is, one, it has to be an even playing field out there for everybody. And do we have rules that create an uneven playing field even for dealers? Are our rules here in Utah, do they put Utah dealers at a disadvantage to surrounding states? And then the other part two of that was transparency and the assistance our board had of making sure we have transparency, particularly when it comes to the advertising rules that are out there. So we are working on it. I wanted to have the board be aware of that. We're working with Alan and his group, and also the DMV had a meeting with them last Thursday and said, hey, what rules are there that are old, antiquated? Do we need to get rid of, or are there some we need to enhance? They actually brought up a section of code that related to some things that we're gonna have to look into as it related to insurance claims and salvage and some of those things that were in there that are causing them problems. So the only reason I opened that up further is I wanted the board to be aware of that. And if the board has any issues concerning rules, now is the time to do that. For example, one of those is on dock fees. And we could talk a long time for dock fees, but I don't want to get down the weeds again. But because of past court costs, you know, it says, the sign says, say, for additional dealer profit. Well, we know we can't add profit into those dock fees and so forth. And then we have issues with being state mandated, and again, that transparency thing. So those are the kind of things we need. Our goal as an association is to have a draft of something ready fairly soon, and I'm hoping by the next October advisory board meeting we can have a draft of changes, submit that, it has to go through a hearing process, and then the tax commission has their hearing, and then it goes into effect 30 days. So, but I want to have that all done well before the legislative session, because if we get in the legislative session, we're talking a year from now again to get that done. So thank you for letting me back up on that one issue.
Wayne, you do know that that's probably the single biggest thing that we hear about.
Yes.
Either it's not enforced, or we don't understand it, or
right,
it's a cost of doing business. There's a million
excuses,
thoughts, and comments about that. And for me personally, more of the dealers contact me on that single thing than anything we do.
Right.
And so I think it's a wonderful thing you're trying to accomplish. The even playing field is the righteous right way to do business, and the transparency side of it.
They gotta work together.
The dock fee is, in my mind, a little different animal, and probably isn't totally underneath this advertising rule, but
right,
it's an issue that still is something that is passionate to all of us around this table.
Right.
And if you do get to that point, I think it would be a heads up for the board before it's just set on this table at our next meeting,
mm-hmm,
if we were able to look or read through some of that so we were a little familiar with that information, we would appreciate that.
Yeah, part of my plan is to share that with Greg and make sure that that's passed on so you're not coming in here reading it for the first time.
That'd be
great. And also be included in some of the discussions of why we think it should go that, not just here it is, you like it, yes or no, but some of the discussion involved in that.
Thank you.
Yep.
Any other thoughts about that?
That's great.
I have one on the dock fee issue, and it's great. Wayne and Adam and Jason and I got together 2-3 weeks ago and put through this, so we really have good collaboration, and so it's great from the two associations to do that. We've talked about those advertising guidelines and updates and rules and dock fees for years, and so that's a good review, Wayne. Thank you. I had a call about dock fees this week. And this goes back, and Wayne and I have talked about this. It goes back to the fairness, and so I shared with this particular dealer the background behind why we do a matrix and dock fees, and there can't be any profit in the Consumer Sales Practices Act, and you know all the things from the Department of Commerce, etc. And I think as we go through and review that, we just have to make sure that we're careful. We don't keep track of what dock fees are. We can't. We don't ask. I don't survey. We don't do any of that kind of stuff. But I think it's part of it is an education process. And this dealer I talked to, he was a new car dealer. the dealer that I talked to, it was a great reminder of how we got to where we are and why the dock fee is the way it is as far as structure. And it's in with the Department of Commerce. And so I think once all of those things get reviewed and we talk about it, there's got to be a way to communicate that, because time goes by and we forget how many people are using their matrix and adjusting that every year so that it can go back 6 years. You remember from the class action, the penalty was the dock fee on every car for 6 years. That's a big deal. That's a stinger. That puts people out of business. And so I think we just appreciate Wayne and the team doing that and getting with us, and we're cognizant of it, but it's an education piece that we've got to remember why we did what we did and going forward. So like John, that's probably the call you get. If I get one call the most often, it's that issue as well.
And when they mess up on dock fees, it's always a legislator who gets in the middle of it, unfortunately.
Unfortunately.
Those are the ones we always hear about.
Yeah. And yeah. Honestly, it shouldn't.
Should never
be that. And the reality is the dock fee should be something that you're conscious about and that you don't overwhaul the thing.
Don't.
It shouldn't fall in line with what our actual costs are.
Exactly. It has to be.
And I think for the most part.
Yes.
It's done that way. We operate that way. But there are some rogues out in the industry that are the ones that are causing harm to the whole process.
And you're right, John. I said I would bring it up at this meeting from the dealer, and I'm going to just give him some feedback back. And they quoted me what this was, and they must have a lot of costs in that deal to do that. I mean, a lot. And so part of it is disclosure. Anyway, we could talk about this for a long time here, but it's one of those things that we just need to look at and be cognizant of and educate the group about again and again, 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 again. So.
I think you ought to keep doing that. We're anxious to see what comes from you.
Yep.
But bottom line is the dock fee is a real thing, mm-hmm. and there are costs associated.
No question.
Yeah, absolutely.
And we see those more all the time.
Yeah. Transparency and even playing field are the two focuses we're doing on all of that.
Well, we applaud your efforts there and hope to see some action.
To your next item on government vehicle auctions, we were approached by a couple of the, or actually one, and communicated with others now on some of the government vehicle auction sales out there. In fact, we asked Alan and his guys to come and meet with us concerning some of that. I think there's two issues, and the one that I thought, and the reason why I asked to have it put on here is the discussion was, is our government surplus sales competing unfairly with dealers or others? And we went through this discussion 30 plus years ago when the counties were having big programs to sell their surplus auction and stuff. I think there's also a bigger issue with the auctions in sales tax. Should the auctions be collecting sales tax, particularly who is not required to pay sales tax? Obviously, if a dealer is there and he buys, obviously, they're exempt, but should they be collecting sales tax? Because they do sell to the public. Should that sales tax be collected? Some are, some aren't. Even the inventory, some of the inventory when they do the online sales is not even at the location. It's different places, and should it be? There's a lot of questions of things that are coming with this government surplus sales that are going on. So. We're going to work with them. I don't know that there is a solution yet at this point. My biggest thing is, do the dealers or the industry, new and used, feel it's we're competing with government surplus sales? Is that an issue? I don't know the answer to that yet.
I'll give you an answer to it, in my opinion, and I think open it up. That used to be a real issue in Weber County.
Oh, mm-hmm. Huge.
Right. And it was only the county. Mm-hmm. The city wasn't involved, but Weber County was involved, and they were buying a little higher upgraded vehicle, mm-hmm. for an example, a truck or an Explorer or something along those lines. And then within 1 year, they were sending them off, and they were finding
turning it over.
Yeah, they were turning it off over, and they were finding their cost of operation was a little better for it. Mm-hmm. But it really became competitive in nature, and people that walked through through your front door of the dealership would say, you know, I think we'll wait till the
auction comes in.
County auction. The question I would have on that, do they have to comply with regulations that exist for dealers? Do they own a dealer's license?
Most of them, there are some, the public auction we initially worked with is actually a dealer as well. So they are a licensed dealer. So they're going to have all those dealer kind of things, I guess. And I don't know how they're doing their bookkeeping yet. This point is going to the dealership as opposed to an auction currently is a pass-through, just like wholesale auctions are. They're not really receiving constructive receipt of the title. It's buyer to seller and it's facilitated.
But
the public auctions are different than that, I think.
Yeah.
I think that, Alan Shane from the division, you need to understand government is exempt from those. So it doesn't matter if a city,
county,
state, county, they're exempt. Okay, the problem is Highway Patrol has a case right now they're working on for, this was an embarrassment to the Sheriff's Association throughout the state of Utah. There's no doubt, if you look at my budget, I have nothing to hide. First off, the biggest expenses I have are number one, payroll, number two, vehicles. Can't get away from that. We have to go by the state rules on fleet. I have to buy the vehicle, then lease them. And then I have to do the maintenance package. It costs a ton of money. A lot of the counties have gotten around this by going through a leasing company. So they double tap this puppy. So they get a government concession when they buy the car from the manufacturer because it's government buying. Then they go it through a leasing company, they lease it for 1 year, and they turn it back to the leasing company and they sell that thing and they're making $10,000 plus. Don't you wish you could make $10,000 every used vehicle that you sold?
Sure.
That's what they're doing. And now there's a case going on right now, so I'm not picking on Washington County, but this is what they're doing. So Washington County has roughly 60 vehicles in their fleet.
Sheriff bragged to me about his big truck.
60 vehicles. Well, that company bought 125 vehicles using their FEIN number. And none of those vehicles went to the county. They went to their buddies, and they let them drive them for a year for $2,000. Then they liquidated them after they were a year old. And they were allowed to get that government price. And these were on big full-size trucks, 3/4 tons to 1 tons.
Loaded ones.
Loaded. So I'm telling you, it is huge and it's not right. Now, a lot of the auctions that we've met with, that Wayne's talking about, they are dealers. They should have the right to get those vehicles through the government agency and make a profit. That's part of an entrepreneur. If you look up the definition, they should be allowed to make money. Government should not be able to make money based on an agreement on getting a deal to fund their department.
Especially where it's direct competition.
Exactly.
To
it. It's horrible.
Yeah.
So that is going on. The Highway Patrol has a case on it right now.
I've had dealers call me.
And I do not know what the status of it is. It is going way too slow. We should have the case. We didn't get it. They're doing it. And I don't know what the status is.
I think I called you on that.
Yeah.
Not only
you were the first tip off on that, you could let us know.
Yeah.
I think that's a real issue.
It's a bad deal.
As this comes up, I think it's something that we ought to be determined that we try to alleviate.
Yeah.
The other piece of that is they have certain buddies or certain people that only they call them. If all dealers know about it, then they choose if they want to send a representative to purchase or not. But the bottom line is it's abusing the rights that they get from a governmental purchase in the first place to buy the vehicle far less than we buy them for it at the get-go.
And that's what happened. The dealer called me and said, how could this happen? And I called Alan. But do you remember, John, if you don't mind, Mr. Chairman, in the Ogden situation, that Weber County deal, what happened was is that the county thought they were making big money until what Stephen said shifted. And then as I recall back then, I don't know if my numbers are right, they were upside down $1 million.
Yeah.
And I remember the commissioners, they looked pretty good and then they looked really bad.
Yep.
And that stopped.
Well,
and so the market took them out and it shouldn't.
And that's the perplexity of this industry. There are peaks and there are valleys and there are issues like this. But they shouldn't be competing from a governmental standpoint with private industry.
I think the component part that is part of that now that we didn't have years ago is these companies who are contracting with the counties or the government entity to sell the vehicles and how that whole process has worked. And it seems like there's an absolute imbalance in the playing field on that that needs to be addressed. And so from our position, we're going to kind of let Alan go through that and, you know, let the chips fall where they may. If we need to do legislation, we'll put some legislation here. I don't know if that'll happen this session or not until we get some action, because we're kind of getting late right now. But I wanted to bring that up to the advisory board for your consideration.
I think an important thing, Alan, for me, and without knowing all of the facts about it, I'd rather see that those vehicles come out and go to one of the two auctions, maybe have their own private lane, whatever needs to be, but at least everybody's there capable to bid and buy, versus having a select little sliver that they may end up going.
And I guess that's a discussion of the GUR, that should they be allowed to sell to consumers as well as dealers? Because that's kind of an imperfect balance as well.
That, yeah.
And it affects the marketplace and the price of used vehicles and those sorts of things. When you see, you know, somebody's paid, you know, $10,000 under what the marketplace is, that affects everybody's business. Everybody's business.
Well, and as you look at that, I've got two of the biggest credit unions in the state of Utah, in Ogden, Utah, mm-hmm. and America First and Golden West Credit Union. Market their repossessed cars in the same fashion,
right?
And so they become a very hot competitor in our market, which is, you know, I mean, it is what it is, but it's, if you get too many of those, then all of a sudden half the dealers are out of business.
Yeah.
This is way more than what this is, an outside the box deal. This isn't a government agency going and getting a deal on a fleet car and then selling it after the three years, which was, these guys.
What you explained in Washington, explained down in Washington County is absolutely.
It's happening everywhere.
Yeah,
it's happening in Summit County. We know that for a fact, right?
San Juan.
You just hit the tip of the iceberg.
It's like, so now they're all panicking, but they have cars like the undersheriff of Washington County told me. They're not buying any more vehicles from them. So I go, now welcome to the real world. You gotta increase, your budget has to reflect your vehicles now, and it didn't before. I mean, I could just tell you right now, I could hire 10 more investigators if I didn't have my vehicle budget.
Well,
this is a game changer.
And think in today's market, where we cannot buy a one-ton truck.
That's exactly
That's loaded up, and it puts them in even a situation that's so much greater for them.
When we order our cars, they are pretty fleet oriented. Like, they don't have these luxury heated seats like these cars are. These cars these guys are ordering are decked out. They are decked, and so they are hitting the market, and the dealers can't compete with that. It's like way cheaper, $5,000 minimal out of the gate less.
They're all the high countries and King Ranches and all that stuff. That's what they're getting.
And they're using the government contract to do it.
Right, yeah,
that just defies all of sound thinking when it comes to why an individual spends so much money to have a franchise.
Correct.
Okay. So I'll
keep you posted on that. I don't know what's really happening. They're not returning their phone number.
Oh, why wouldn't they?
Funny.
What?
Yeah. Let's move on. We'll be here all day.
Yeah. Do you want me to just continue?
Yeah.
Mr. Chairman.
Any
other
things that you have?
These MBD items are things that I discuss with Alan and his team. A couple things of interest are, we've had a lot of approach by the marine dealers. You know, a lot of these marine dealers are selling 100, 150,000 boats. We talked about failure to deliver title issues. Right now, motor vehicle enforcement has no jurisdiction over a marine site. If I want to be a marine dealer, I go get a license down at Commerce to say Wayne Jones Marine, go get a manufacturer line to sell, and I'm in business. Get a sales tax license.
They have no bond?
No bond, no insurance, no requirements for that. So the marine dealers have asked us, to see about looking into adding them to the motor vehicle code and treating them just like any other motor vehicle. The part we have to be careful of is that they're not used on the road. So there's some designation. We've had conversations with the Department of
Natural Resources,
thank you, with this, to see what direction. They think it's the best idea they've ever heard. They would like us to pursue that. I have not had 100% confirmation, except those marine dealers I have talked to are, yeah, I'm all over this. So then what we would say is we would have a specific marine dealer license that would require a bond and insurance and all those things, just like you would get a small trailer, ATV license, motorcycle license, car dealer license with a specific specific list of things you would have to comply with. And we think it's smart. We've talked to Alan about that. I think he's amenable to doing that. I don't think that's going to happen for the 2021 session. It might, but we're working with that. I've spoken with Senator Bramble on that, and he thinks it's a great idea too. He wants to carry that if we go ahead this session with that. So,
does that cause you any grief, Alan?
No, in all honesty, we would do it anyway. Like when 2007, 2008, when the boat dealers really went out of business, we were the ones that investigated them and filed charges on them because we regulate the trailer stuff.
And they don't get any compensation. It's not part of what they get. So.
That would make perfect sense.
Yep. Second thing that we had concerns with is on age-based fees. I don't know if any of you saw the get part on Channel 5 concerning age-based fees on motorhomes that were changed two years ago.
Yeah.
Some lady who, I'm not going to the story, but she had a motorhome that her taxes went up, and so she went to get
parked it and couldn't use it
because she couldn't, you know, $400, the difference in what she was paying was basically a tank of gas, so she's going to park her motorhome for a whole year because she one tank of gas value. Anyway, the point is, we have done some extensive research on this. Senator Bramble asked me the question. I've had conversations with several of the county assessors concerning this because this money on age-based fees goes to the county. The age-based fees, Senator Bramble asked me the question, why can't we just take all of motor vehicle, all the categories and everything, why can't we just charge $100 for everybody and forget it? Well, conceptually, that might be a nice thought, but there are some problems with that, particularly on the automobile side, because that would be a huge increase for the transportation. I need a car to go to work. People are now paying $10 for that, even the $50 category. So if you're going to do that, you can't do the car side, for sure. But if you look at the ATV side and other side, I said, if you really want to make people mad, you have a whole lot of winners and a whole lot of losers, because if you take the average of, let's say, all ATVs and snowmobiles, you put them in a category, there's this many, the average is $75. Half the people are going to be happy, and the other half are going to be mad. You're never going to hear from the happy people. Now you're going to have a whole bunch of people that are going to go. As to kind of boil this out, talking with the county assessors, we felt like this is the best way we have age-based fees structured, based on as it diminishes every 3 years, your rate goes down until it gets to a bottom rate, and it's where it needs to be. And I told Senator Bramble I'd be after him today, but I think that process makes a lot of sense that we don't need a change in the age basis.
Craig, when we did this, the automobile side of the industry, it was the best thing that ever happened.
Best thing.
And we had more complaints, or less complaints, at that particular thing. This is one situation that got sort of blown out of hand on the television.
Yep.
But I think it's the best thing you could do.
Yeah. Most of the people that I talked to in government who are involved in this, DME, others, had no phone calls whatsoever on this. It was all.
I just think if this was very well thought out at the very beginning, because we even tested it. We went to different, say, and Wayne obviously knows as well because he was just involved as we were. And, you know, even $12 from 10, 15 from 10 made a difference.
Yeah.
And so this is one
that cars.
We say, look, we reviewed it again. The Motor Vehicle Advisory Board looked at it and reviewed it again, and it still is reasonable and overall the most fair thing we could do for the motoring public. So that gives some people some solace that we're just not taking it for granted, that it does work. And, you know,
I think the senator should hear some of those things. He's just trying to help some of his constituents.
Yeah.
He said that on air.
He told them that so that he said, hey, if we need to look at it, we'll look at it. Well, yeah. I think we've looked at it and decided, tell me something. If you don't, if you want one person complain, that's what we did. And all the categories are now covered, exception of houseboats, you know, those boats that are over 31 feet, and also the special equipment, like those cherry pickers and those. And they're very few and far between anyway. So we virtually have the whole industry covered now. Let's just leave it the way it is. It makes the most sense. And that's the report I'm going to give to Senator Bramble for that.
Is the board all in agreement with that? We would agree.
Thank you. Next item is on dealer bonding. We have the same concerns of what's going to happen 6 months from now and 12 months from now. I think, you know, even though we've seen some big increases with temporary permits, I think there's a segment of the market out there that is pretty hurting. And I think the segment we're seeing that's being hurt right now is the ones who sell more of the lower end cars, transportation type cars, because their clientels are the ones that work for restaurants and low income type of things. So we may see some concerns with claims on dealer bonds, and we want to be proactive in that action. We're working on coming up with some solutions to bonding so that if a legislator says, hey, we need to raise the bond, we have maybe even a different or another solution for bonding. We're looking at a number of different things. I don't anticipate doing anything this session at all, but maybe looking at the 2022 session, that would be things like even covering the ratings of bond companies. What's covered currently, talking to the insurance guys, I had an insurance guy tell me a story, just his latest bond claim was for a dealer who didn't pay on a service contract, didn't get the money in, and they filed a claim with the bonding company, and the bonding company paid under the service contract. Well, service contracts aren't covered under the bond. The bond is only for title delivery only. The dealer delivered title, but the bonding company paid it, I think, because they didn't know. And so we need to look at what's being covered under the bond. I think there needs to be some responsibility for financial institutions that if they don't take appropriate action. You know, we've had past experiences where a dealer's upside down $200,000, and the question to the finance institution was, well, didn't you file a complaint when you didn't receive that title in 21 days? Well, no, we didn't. You know, so I think we need to review all the aspects of the dealer bond and even the ratings of the bond companies and who can sell them to make sure that we're doing those things right. Also, a couple other MVD items are, I think we are in a position as an industry where we've never been before of making some, I think, significant changes in the industry. You know, I feel like in the 43 years I've been doing this, we've kind of just gone along and we're getting better and better. Let me just back up one step. I really take my hat off to Alan and his team for how willing they are to work with our industry. I can call him anytime, day or night, on his day off. You know, he responds immediately, and his team's the same way. And I think that puts us in a position where we need to make sure that things are working the way and make changes the way we need to make those changes. So I think we really have an opportunity right now to make that happen. A couple of things that I wanted to mention is on education. We touched on that earlier. I think under education, if you look 20 some odd years ago when we started the dealer education program, where they had to have an 8-hour class coming in and a 3-hour class to renew their license every year. If you compare that to the number of bond claims that have gone on over the 20 years, it's a very definite downhill trend of fewer and fewer claims. The area that I'm most concerned about right now is I think we're doing a fairly good job with dealers. I would like to see some enhancement go on with education, because I'm seeing where we're not, some of the dealers are coming in and took an education class, and I didn't know I was supposed to be doing that. So we still have some of that out there, which I think is we can address. But more importantly is the consumer side. I think as an industry, I think we've done a poor job at best informing the consumer about what their rights are and what they can and can't do and what they should be aware of when they walk into a dealership and purchase a car, new, used, whatever it is. So we're looking at seeing what we can do to and ways to be able to fund that. This is a project we're working on. I only bring it up to the board because I want input from you as well as all our boards on both new and used car associations. But I think we're really in a position where if we put out some good education to consumers, we'll have far less of his phone ringing for complaints, and people will understand when I go in, I don't have to pay this. It's not state mandated that I have window etching, and it's not state mandated that I pay a dock fee and so on and so forth, and et cetera, et cetera. And so I think there's a way to do that. Alan touched on one of the last ones I want to touch on, and that is on the scope of the advisory board. Our association is committed to make sure this advisory board works well. I think that we may even want to consider even looking at in the next fiscal year of enhancing this board, because I think there's areas, as he said, and Chris said as well, that are not being represented. What about RV? What about power sports? If we license marine dealers, should there be a marine, you know, so I think there's some things we need to look at. Does that mean maybe there's a little cost of having seven or eight member, 10, 11, I don't know, number of board members. But I think it's worth, because of the value of what this board brings, I think it's well worth to have that input from all those other industries, that we're not just a new used car advisory board. I think that that needs to be expanded, so.
Any comments on that?
I just make the comment, you, when you opened the door there and said that a bond paid on a warranty claim, boy, I'll tell you, I'd shut that door, because there are, I know of one, maybe two companies out there that'll let you self-insure. So you don't have
on a bonding company?
On warranty.
On warranty.
So you can have a warranty company and self-insure. And if you got in trouble and you're self-insuring, your monies, you take your monies, reserves,
right,
and spend them. And if you, that could be huge.
Absolutely.
I mean, huge.
Yeah.
And boy, I would put a hole in that one real quick.
Yeah. Talking about bond claims, that could be more.
Yeah,
than
I mean,
claims.
Oh, it could, and that would raise all of our bond prices.
Exactly.
And right out of the, so yeah. I'd plug that hole as fast as I can.
Yeah.
Because that one could be catastrophic.
Yeah, we had the insurance people go back to the bonding company and say, hey, you did this all wrong. And so they've been informed now. Whether they're going to continue to do that, I don't know. It was a smaller bonding company. They probably didn't know. They were probably acting off old information, because before it wasn't just covering bonds, it was covering other things like that. So,
well, there's a couple of issues with that are vital. I think the educational piece is good. I think it's important for dealers. You know, our annual seminar, we had a little different view of it this year, which ultimately was great, mm-hmm. and we did it virtually, mm-hmm. and it worked great. But that's well attended, and yet we still have dealers that are uninformed. And I don't know if you do this, Wayne, but as you go around the state, Craig, one of the great things that takes place is we bring that kind of stuff to the forefront and try to educate as well and give insight. The education of the public, I think that's critical. There's certainly no reason in my life that I don't want transparency out there for the public. I do know that that's very costly. How you get to that so that they don't misunderstand the process or what is really trying to be given to them is sometimes
always the challenge.
And then it also opens the door at that point in time that may be difficult. Back to the bond issue. We all know that the bond is totally underserving when there's a problem.
Yeah,
one car.
In today's world,
one car.
It's one automobile.
Yeah.
And when it when you get to that point, it's not one. We're talking.
Yeah.
In days gone by, $500,000 was a big deal. Today, you're talking that could be
much more.
And so I think that we need to continue to look and strive to do the very best we can for that entry-level dealer to groups as big as Stephen and bigger.
Right.
So I think all those items are critical, and the interaction with motor vehicles has been unbelievable.
Just one little piece to add to the advisory board. I think that it would be a benefit to everybody if we can have DMV and even some other government entities that have jurisdiction over us to attend these meetings, so that there's a better coordination between all of the different government, even public safety, the Department of Commerce. I know these guys battle with Commerce all the time for, you know, who has jurisdiction, who's doing what, same with Parks and Rec, and so on and so forth. I think it would be good for this board to expand to say, hey, once a quarter, you need to have somebody here to talk about. I invited DMV today. I don't know if it worked in their schedule, because I just told them Thursday. But you know, we've asked DMV to do some things. As you all know, we do title and licensing in our office. I didn't know if you knew that. We're on the state's mainframe computer system, and we can issue. We're asking that to be actually expanded, particularly with this COVID thing going on and the DMV offices shutting down and some of that. So we're asking for some other additional services that we're working on. But I would love to have more of that input here. I'll just tell you, it's really, we meet regularly. Regularly would be what we would like to do, as well as with DMV and other the other government agencies. Sales tax, auditing, all those things can give us input on those issues that all seem to overlap with all this. So that would be a component part we'd like to see take place. And all those things that I mentioned, whether they're legislative items, because I know that's your next item on there, will depend on how urgent it is for us to do that this session. We're getting late. If we don't get something in and in the queue right, in the next 2 or 3 weeks, we're going to be late in the session. And this session, I think, is going to be more of a challenge than any other session I've ever been in, because it's going to be difficult to get to legislators if you don't already have their cell phone number. And you can imagine they're getting 200 or 300 emails a day, what it's going to be like when nobody can be there at the Capitol. And Craig will attest that most of the work at the Capitol, a lot of it gets done out in the hallway. And we're not necessarily going to be able to do that as much this year, if at all. So this year's going to be a challenge, and we'll have to look at these legislative items to see which is the best that we do now and what needs to be delayed maybe a year or whatever. So
I think I don't want to speak for all of our board members, but if we're coming to actually do a job and to work here, we would be absolutely happy to have Commerce, DMV,
and
Public Safety, and whomever else we feel appropriate to invite it. And Gene, that might be something that we could send a little notice of what our annual meetings of next year will be, and maybe starting with the first one in the year would be a positive time to start asking them to come and attend those meetings.
I'd love to know today where the status of the DMV offices are, because they had two of them closed because of COVID. I mean, we've seen that.
I think they're open now.
They are now, yeah. But we've seen a huge impact on our title, impact, because they're saying, hey, if you want to do an emergency walk, go see IDS. Well, that's great, except that we can't take credit cards, because we serve dealers, so we don't have credit card capability, which is also another issue we ought to talk about.
You're being kind.
I know. I took my nice pills today. But we'd like to be able to take credit cards. If we're not, why are we charged that amount? I get the argument on both sides. Those are the kind of things I think we need discussion here with DMV and with public safety on safety issues. And
absolutely.
On and on.
And I think those are simple things, and I think those are simple fixes, actually.
I do too.
We live in a world today, if you don't take a credit card, you can't live.
Tell me how that's more safe than putting a routing number and account checking account number in the system. I don't get that. But that's just me. So.
Well, I think we can talk about those. As we jump to legislative issues, Craig, you or
I don't know that we have any. There's some that are always pending. Wayne's had conversations with them. Jason and I are going to have a conversation with the representative Thurston. There's a few legislators out there that just maybe have a little bullseye on our back, and we've been really good as a coalition to get them to back off. Once they understand what real things are, and not that I think understanding is helpful, but there are just some that just, I would say personally, I'm not saying this representative by name, but there are some that just would rather have us not be as effective as we are because they have something against us. That's just plain and simple. So there's a couple. I don't know of any on the horizon. I don't know that we have any. There may be one issue. We talk offline, Mr. Chairman, about that, but we're watching that heavily, as you know, and Wayne watches it. As an industry, we watch it. We were just with a candidate for a congressional race nationally before we came here, and so we're active there. I would say one thing has been echoed a lot, but Alan and his team have been terrific. We're working on, Wayne knows about it, all of you know about it, with DMV and some e-titling, and there's some of that going on. So I think there's really been some nice coordination with that whole process, with the tax commission, with DMV, with MBED, and your team. And I think because Alan and his team, two of them are here, three of them are here, I've been here 33 years. Wayne's been here 43. And I like all the directors, we go back, but this team is is an all-star superstar team because they gel really well and things are happening. I think that this e-titling that we've talked about is moving forward, and we could have tests starting to be run in 5 weeks from today. But part of that is it. Okay, so the gentle arc and a gentle arc and a nudge or whatever Hot Rod would say from this team here. And kudos to the DMV. They're good. Monty and his team. You know, Stacy found that team, Scott Smith, Commissioner Valentine. It's a good time to be around. So, John, answer a long question to the legislative stuff. There always will be something. We're excited to have Chris Wilson. Hopefully he'll make that Senate seat, District 25. Good dealer, knows the stuff, seasoned. He was our past president. He will add some inside information from the standpoint of our industries for the body, because he's lived it. He's been like you and Stephen and Clint and Chris. I mean Chris rather. So we're pleased to have that. So he'll be able to communicate to the inside of the body what we do. So John, I don't have anything really right now. There may be one that you and I talked about a little bit, but that's all.
Mr. Chairman, there is one that came up just last week. It's a carryover from last year. It's Representative Robertson. I talked with him last Friday night. It is concerning multi-year registrations for motor vehicles, for vehicles. The way the bill was written last year, it would include all vehicles, but he's kind of backtracked a little bit. It basically says that if I buy a vehicle and I'm going to have a three-year finance contract with it, I can just pay all my DMV fees and everything for all 3 years and not have to worry about annual renewal every year. That's kind of the premise of what he's trying to do.
How's the money rebated if he sells the vehicle?
So, well, that's where we're going to end. So the question is, what if he sells it? Because more than likely he's not going to go. Or crashes it. Or what happens if there's emissions testing that needs to be done that's required?
They did have a meeting on that. So if it's emission year, they're not going to do it. So more than likely 2 years,
right,
depending on where the vehicle sits in range.
Right.
And then if it's a refund, if it's 1 day into that fiscal year, they will not refund.
Get the refund. So if I do 5 years, which he was talking about doing, and I go 1 year and 1 day, I'm only going to get 3 years. I'm not going to get four.
I think
there are some administrative issues that are huge in this. I don't know how the tax commission feels about it. I know they were very concerned about it last session, because now they're going to be issuing all these rebates. And I told Representative Roberts, and I said, our concern is, as dealers, we don't want to get in the middle of all this administrative stuff. You already know how long it takes to buy a car. And he says, yeah, I planned 2 hours to go buy a car, and I was there three. And I said, see, that's why, because we have so much of this government stuff that we have to deal with on a daily basis with every single transaction. We can't afford to put the dealers in the middle of this either.
Yeah, and if you ask them to be participants in that process, because they may have the record of it,
mm-hmm,
that turns into, again, a huge nightmare.
The consumer's never going to know anything about it.
I think that's a tough lift.
Yeah, but it's an interim study. It's on committee on Wednesday, and he wants to be an interim so they can fully vet it and go through, so I expect that will be in the next probably couple.
We just have to work through that and just move it to the side if we can.
Well, yeah. And I hope Tax Commission and a couple others send enough people to get that in.
It's just not practical.
It's not practical. And we're simplifying. If anything we've talked about here, we're simplifying processes, and truthfully, that complicates the simplification.
Yeah.
A lot. I honestly think the Tax Commission is not going to contest it at all.
Well, we will.
Seriously. I don't believe they will.
We will.
I just think it's the government issuance of it being involved, and they're not going to contest it. In fact, they're even going to do one better. If it does pass, I was telling Wayne, they're going to do away with decals on license plates. So I think that all things are streamlining forward in a different way, and there's a lot. It's $1 million a year in savings if they do away with decals. And I know public safety is going to flip about that. There's no doubt in my mind. However, I was told to.
We'll be there.
So you would know if a car's been registered, probably not, just to
you'd have to run the
call
license.
Run the license.
Oh, Or if they pick you up and you have a current registration.
Correct.
I can tell you how they
can
solve that.
They're not doing renewal notices anymore. I hope you guys all know that.
Yeah, no cards anymore.
No more cards are going out after October 1st.
Right.
Seeing that for an individual that doesn't stay up on these things, that's a monster.
You're looking at it right here.
No, it's a monster.
Yeah, you're going to see a lot more motor vehicle citations issued.
Here's what will happen.
Too many vehicles, that's
why. You may want to look at the idea that if they don't have some of these issues, the poor individual that doesn't stay up on those things, they could go 2-3 years without ever being caught because no decal or they aren't reminded.
No, they're going to get the highway patrol 50 cents per registration to go do registration for them.
So,
And by the way, there was a bill passed that said if you got cited for your registration not being current, it becomes a fix-it ticket.
Correct.
So you can now, I can just go down, I'll just drive for as long as I can. Oh, it's not registered this year? Okay, I'll go pay it. So yeah, I think there's going to be a huge revenue loss with that.
Huge. I think there's a revenue.
So if I could, here's what this is turning into. I have cameras all over our building. You've all been in my building, these guys' building. I have a couch and a love seat next to my dumpster. If anybody wants it, come and get it. It's a white 2500 Chevy pickup that dropped it off right by my dumpster. I tried to get somebody to remove it. It's not gone yet. Okay. So, likely this week, I'll go with my trailer. Jason and I load it up and we'll hide into the dump. Here's the problem. I saw everything. I saw the guy's face. I saw everything. But he came in this way and he didn't have a front license plate on. Otherwise, I'd have called you and said, can I help me? Yeah. And so now, guess what? It's going to cost me $250 to move this guy's junky couch out and take time.
Just call Chris and come get it for free.
Serious?
And he'll be able to get a title for it.
Yeah.
The couch?
We can take care of that problem.
He's talking a couch.
Oh, couch. Oh,
a
no.
couch.
There's no metal in it.
No.
There's no
car. No, it was dropped. No. It was dropped off by a...
What just happened?
Yeah, no.
What just happened?
No, it was dropped off by a Chevy 2500 three-quarter ton. Yeah, white.
You said it was a
couch. Yeah, I'm sorry. It was a couch.
Well, we see that there's...
We stopped taking couches last week.
I'll give you my income again.
I got a car in Capo, and I took down some stickers with me, and I put them on the car. My boy and I were over in town. I put a sticker on in for 6 of 21, and it was 7 of 20. It was just right in the change. The two policemen pulled me over there licking their chops. So you hear they're pointing this, like, what do we do? And they pointed to that. And then I showed up and it said 21. They just blew their minds. They knew they had a few bucks coming.
They're in a weird cycle right now with what public safety and even us kind of fall under that umbrella, what we can contest, because people are afraid to contest anything right now. So, I mean, I go to the chief meetings when the legislative session starts, and I am telling you, gentlemen, they are afraid to contest anything. So that opposite wing of the of society is going to get almost anything they want done right now because they're neutral. No one's saying anything.
We all around this board better be cautious because be aware because it will end up costing you all money. And when changes come back, they're not always the funnest. So I think we want to rally on some of these things that make absolutely zero sense to the public or to the industry. Well, or the state of Utah, frankly, there's some money issues.
So I have this last thought on legislation. So Jason and I was there and three highway patrol members. And so we know that their public safety may not be saying anything or whatever, but we're not constrained by that. And as you probably all know, we were threatened by a current legislator that if we pursue this particular item, quote, they will take the money away from the highway patrol and make us, the dealer body, pay for it. Well, that's a criminal violation, I'm told, but I never pressed it. So we're not afraid of that, and we're not afraid of the legislators. And so let us help you because we can be the voice. And I just did not take that to the next level. By the way, it was the third time that week that the legislator had visited with leadership because of their action. So I didn't say who it was, but if you ever have concerns, let us know, and we're happy to do this. So we'll be there Wednesday.
Thank you, Mr. Bickmore. MVD, once again, we've heard a lot of accolades thrown your way today. Thanks for what you do, all of you. We appreciate it very much. We appreciate appreciate you coming together with items. Is there any other business that board members have? If not, take a motion to adjourn.
I did that last year. I'll do it again. Last meeting.
I make a motion.
Meeting adjourned. Thank you for your insight and input.
Sorry, Chris, we'll take that couch to the not the car.
Chris, don't stand in there. Don't do it.
Hold it to it, man. Hold it to it.
When you start talking about it,
no, if it's dropped off, like,